do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. No, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with this shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, the lovely, the radiating Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hello, Kai. I'm definitely radiating right now.
That's for sure. We'll get into that in a sec. Hey, we had to skip an episode. We should address this really quick.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone out there that listens to the show regularly thought, oh, fuck, they're going on hiatus again because it's Halloween time, just like 3 years ago when we took our big break?
Do you think that... No, maybe they thought I had the baby.
Maybe they thought you had the baby. That didn't even cross my mind.
That's what I assumed, because if I don't talk to people, I get a message like once every week or so. What's going on? I'm like, dude, leave me alone.
By the way, my wife texted me yesterday. She goes, I got a picture of pregnant Heather today. She sent me a picture, and she was like all proud, and she's like, did you get one? Did you get one? And I said, no. But I'm like, do you know what her bowel movements are like? Has she told you if she's pooped today? That's what I thought. I'm still closer to Heather, so shut the fuck up.
You are. I sent it to her because I figured she cared. And I figure you care about my bowel movements.
Yeah, but that's good reasoning. All right, let's just go ahead and spend a moment with you then.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
Okay, so as we mentioned, you're about to give birth. That's like a beautiful thing that's going to happen any time now, right?
It's a gross thing, but yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay, well, that's why I thought this would be a really good opportunity to talk about me.
Perfect.
Okay. I need you to do something for me. For this segment, we talked about the baby. We don't need it. It's the third one. You've done it before. It's all good.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss it further when it comes. But I need you to be judge, jury, and executioner for me for a moment.
Oh, I can do all that.
Okay. I got blocked on Twitter for the first fucking time.
What? By who? What did you do?
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't know why I follow this guy. This guy is a screenwriter. His name. I'm debating even to say his name, so I'm not even going to say his name.
Say his name. Say his name. I want to know his name. Say his name.
Okay, his name is Adam Zopf.
That sounds familiar.
Okay, I don't even know why I'm following him. He doesn't follow me after checking into it, and my guess is he probably did one of those things where he follows you to get you to follow him, and you follow him, and then they unfollow you, which is fine, but I tend to I screenwrite in my free time, so I tend to follow a lot of screenwriters, and I don't care if they follow me back, because, like, people like Christopher McQuarrie and a lot of people that are online give, like, such great advice and information about screenwriting in the world of Hollywood that I like to follow all that stuff. So that doesn't bother me. But this is not someone that I follow closely, nor do I correspond with ever. This was the first correspondence I ever had with this person. So the correspondence was this, Heather. I'm going to break it down for you really quick. I don't want to go too long on this, but I do want to break this down for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Adam had a tweet that said, 2016 is like the century just got its license and won't be told what to do anymore. And I thought that was really funny, but I thought it was it was a little off grammatically. Like, it's a little confused. Okay, here, I'm going to read it one more time. Well, no, I'll come back to it. Okay, so I said, Adam, this is 2016, more year than a century, but still very funny. And I liked and retweeted his post, right?
Yeah.
To which he responded, I got to find my ads here. Where are my ads? To which he responded, I don't even know what this means, and you're being annoying, and blocked me.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. You honestly, especially people don't know you, you can come off very harsh sometimes. I will admit that. I have extremely thick skin, and I get your sense of humor, but I totally get that some people don't, but that wasn't even close to bad. You were just being kind of snarky.
Yes.
Snarky.
And here's the thing. Okay, if you're that sensitive, you probably shouldn't even be on Twitter. Am I wrong?
You shouldn't be on social media, and you sure as shit shouldn't be a screenwriter. How the hell can you be in any kind of creative art and not be able to take criticism?
By the way, I retweeted him and liked his post. I have two problems with this. A, I did that. I liked it. I retweeted it. B, I don't even know where to go with this. Forget my one and two. Here's what I'm going to say. The going back to what the thing was that I retweeted, 2016 is like the century just got its license. Okay, so our century's in the 16th year, which is when you would get your license.
Yes.
And won't be told what to do anymore. So I kind of read it wrong the first time, but I still think the wording and the way it's laid out doesn't give the joke enough pop. Like, he's a writer.
Yeah.
And,
either way, you were responding in kind. And, I mean, as far as I know, that's what people on social media do. But what I've also learned in the last many years about social media is that it is the place for everyone to get butthurt.
Yes,
about
very much
anything.
So.
I don't think it's anything to do with much else now other than people saying what bothers them that other people have said. And that goes across the board for entertainment. It goes across the board for bored people that are just gossips. It's for politics, everything. It seems to be what we can read between these lines and can be configured in our own minds however we want to interpret it. And that is a perfect example of it.
Well, and can I be honest, like, the other thing that rubbed me wrong, I don't even know what this is in response to and you're being annoying. I just replied to your tweet. You should know exactly what I'm referring to. And by the way, I said I applaud your joke, so, like, I don't...
Well, if anyone would like to right now, I can say from my point of view, objectively, he's a fucking idiot. And you can quote me on that at Heather_Kenobi and include him on that. That's fucking retarded.
Okay, so you're on my side on this one.
Yeah, and I'm totally understanding that somebody else could be offended by something that you say and not get it, especially if they don't know you. But that's, on so many levels, just ridiculous.
Okay, well then, I feel better. It rubbed me raw last night. And if Adam ever listens to this, Adam, we're not talking shit on you. I just feel like...
I am.
Okay, Heather is. But I'm not. I was just like, what the fuck? Seriously? I can't believe this. Anyway, it's not even worth the time. It's Twitter. It shouldn't have even aggravated me, but I
wanted
their opinion.
No, I think you're like, that's how you know you've made it, is when you've pissed someone off on Twitter that you've been blocked, I think. I mean, that's how Trump got his fucking, you know, celebrity, pissing people off on Twitter. Now he's running for president.
There you go, Kiderman.
There you go, next term. Yeah, I'm voting for you.
You could be my vice president. You think Trump is bad? Here we go, you guys. All right, this is enough of this. Let's move on with the show.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
All right, our guest today, he's an old favorite of the show. He's an old friend of the show. We've known him for a very long time. He is a regular guest whenever Halloween comes around because he's the king of horror and B-movies, in my humble opinion. When he's not blogging or podcasting, now he can be found on YouTube under the tag CineGamer. It's our buddy Jason Soto. Say hello, Jason.
Hello, Jason. What's up, everybody?
Tell me a little bit. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you're doing now, because you've gone down a new path in your life.
Yeah, well, okay, so about a year and a half ago, I just started getting, I'll say, back into board games. I've kind of discovered this whole, like, that board games just, like, exploded right now, and they're getting, like, super popular in kind of like a hipster kind of way. And I've discovered, like, a lot of fun ones. So while I'm, like, discovering all these, I couldn't help but notice that I was, like, making comparison to these games to movies. So, like, I'll be playing a game, like, oh, this reminds me of a movie. And so I did that to, like, almost every game in my collection. And then I had this idea of, hey, let's pair a game with a movie that goes together, and then I'll review both. And then I'll even show you how to play the game. So that's where CineGamer comes from. And that's basically just what I do. Just every episode, I take a game from my collection, and then I think of a movie or match it with a movie that's similar, and I show you both, and it's a fun time.
I think cool. It's awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
I check in every once in a while when I can, and I think it's pretty sweet, and it's definitely unique. I am a huge board game person, though. I can never find people to play board games with me. I have to con them.
Well, I just recently met a group of people in my first city of Indianapolis that welcomed me with open arms, and so now I have a group that I play with about maybe twice a month now, which I'm okay with. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's awesome.
Well, and I like that you compare it to movies. Can I ask a question? If I take Cards Against Humanity off the table, what is your favorite game?
Let's see. That's nice of you to take that off.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's one out there I play a lot, and my fiance Felicia is actually tired of playing this because we play it as often as we can. It's called Betrayal at House on the Hill. It's a It's a game about a haunted house. You explore a haunted house. And in the middle of the game, one of the players becomes a traitor. That's where the betrayal comes from. And then it becomes that one person versus the other players. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of B-movie horror references in it. And it's in my opinion, very awesome. It's a lot of fun. I love playing it. And it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons in that there's different stories. So you're not playing the same game twice.
Like a choose-your-own-adventure.
That's a better way to put it. Yeah. So, you're not playing the same, scenario
it's
twice.
Not, so it's not repetitive, but she's still annoyed because you make her do it all the fucking time.
Correct.
Which, by the way, brings me to another question. Been fiancé Felicia a long time. When's it just going to be my wife Felicia? I'm just saying, man.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
you know what? That's a good answer, Soto, because that's going to be my plan. I plan on staying engaged for like 15 years.
Yeah, but you've done it once. See, I don't think Jason hasn't been married before. Have you been married before, Jason? You've never been married before.
No, I have not.
No, so you have no excuse. Just go make the mistake like the rest of us did and see if it works. Anyway.
Oh,
well,
Kai.
I don't want to do the whole thing here, but I don't see the point of marriage. But
all right, well, you saw a point in fiance. I'm just saying. All right. So let's move on from this. Again, it's nice to have you. I promise everyone, this is not going to lead to a 2-year hiatus after the show. We will be back in a couple of weeks. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we love all the positive feedback we're getting on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else. And thanks, everyone, for listening. But as Jason already knows, and for those of you that don't know, new listeners, we're going to have a general discussion topic today. We're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game. But before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen lately?
All right, Jason, so you're our guest. Is there a film you've seen recently that you feel compelled to speak of?
Yes, I do. I just recently watched The Conjuring 2.
Really?
Yeah. Have you guys seen either of The Conjurings?
The first one. I'm actually saving 2 for this weekend with Braz.
I want to double up on them. I want to double up on them. I hear really great things. In fact, a list just came out that kind of noted the best horror movies of the century thus far from the year 2000 on, and The Conjuring, the original Conjuring, was named the best film for that particular year, which I believe was like 2013?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so tell us a little about the two. Did you like it? What's up?
Okay. Well, first off, I'm like a huge fan of the original. I love the first one. I thought it was like generally like scary and creepy. It made my list of 10 movies that creeped me out. But then I heard about the second one, and then I didn't think it was as scary. I don't try not to go too spoilers that you guys haven't seen it. I was a little let down because it wasn't anything like the first one. It went a little different direction. Mm-hmm. And but I will say this, when it got scary, it was pretty scary, but I want to say those moments were kind of few and far in between. Mm-hmm. But the real scary moment actually happened in real life when I was watching the movie, and I swear to you, I'm not making this up, this actually happened. So when I watch horror movies and it's nighttime, I have all the lights off, and it's just the movie on. Mm-hmm. So during the middle of the movie, the aforementioned fiance Felicia came home, and she went into the kitchen to start making her dinner. So that was the only light in the house. There was a moment in the movie where a jump scare happened. Right at that jump scare, the lights in the kitchen like flickered for like 5 seconds.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Shit yourself. <That's>
crazy. But it's not a bad movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. I do have an issue with it, but I don't want to get into it because, again, spoilers. But I didn't think it was that bad. I think the first one's better. I'll just put it that way.
That's fine. And that's to be expected. To say a sequel is good, especially in the horror genre, I think is a good thing. I think
absolutely.
James Wan has proven he's invaluable to the horror genre.
Yeah, he's still a good director. I still like his work. And again, I didn't hate the movie, but I've pretty much liked every movie he's done. So, that's a plus.
Even the ventriloquist one?
You know what? I actually haven't gotten to that one yet. I got it on my queue. I'm gonna watch it at some point.
I say that's the low point of Juan, but I still enjoy watching it because it still looks like a James Wan film, and I like the way that James Wan shoots a film.
Yeah, me too.
Does that make sense? So, like, I'm willing to get past the silliness of the dummy, the ventriloquist dummy, and enjoy the film for what it is.
I like his movies because, like, he's able to mix, like, really creepiness with some humor. Mm-hmm. Like, the Insidious movies are, like, another one of my favorite movies.
Yes, great
They're
movies.
Fantastic.
That's a great blend of, like, horror and comedy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess speaking of horror and comedy, I'll just give you mine. I watched Krampus.
Oh!
Okay, so I wanted, you know, if it wasn't, I saw Demolition last night, by the way, from the director of the guy that made Wild and the Dallas Buyers Club, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. Great movie, but it's Halloween, so I can't get into that. So the most recent horror movie, I finally got around to seeing Krampus, and I saw it primarily because I liked the people in the film. David Koechner,
Adam Scott's in it, right?
Say who?
Adam Scott.
Toni Collette, and the lady from Two and a Half Men. I don't know. Anyway, I really like, kind of liked everybody involved. So I'm watching the movie, and Jason, I don't know about you, I'm a huge fan of the movie Trick or Treat. You?
Oh, I fucking love that movie.
Okay, I think it should be, it is to Halloween what Christmas Story is to Christmas, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was surprised, because I tend to watch movies, and the first thing I'll do is get on IMDb and do a little research on the film or whatever, and I never paid too much attention to Krampus. Mm-hmm. It's basically a horror movie set around Christmas time where there's basically a bad Santa who comes and terrorizes people that don't have the holiday spirit, essentially. I guess that's a rough breakdown. But Googling the movie and going to IMDb, I found out it's from the same director who did Trick or Treat.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
that
awesome.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And so as I'm watching the film, I don't want to get too spoiler either. Let's just say there's a bad Santa, and if bad Santa had assistants or things that he would use to be bad, it'd probably be all the stuff Santa has. Elves, gifts, you know, gingerbread men, things of this nature. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so everything in the movie, and this is part of the reason I started looking it up, just reeks of Trick or Treat in theme, and not theme, but in tone and the way the film looks and is presented. Unfortunately, it doesn't resonate with me the same way that Trick or Treat did. I didn't think it was a great film. I thought it was fine. It was entertaining. and if you like the tone of Trick or Treat, I would really recommend watching Krampus because you can feel that movie. The director, I'm looking up his name right now, the director, Michael Dougherty. Thank you. I couldn't remember it. It's worth checking out on that level. But the movie kind of lets down. And then there's an ending, which I actually liked. But I had to Google it because I wanted to make sure that I got the same out of the ending that everyone else was interpreting. And sounds like I'm on the right path. I don't mind it. Some people thought it was a bit of a letdown. Again, not fantastic. I wish Trick or Treat would have got the amount of marketing that Krampus did.
Yeah, really. I don't know why that movie did not get any kind of like screen time or popularity. Like, it's like such a...
It's perfect.
Like, I don't know, underground, like the most popular underground movie that like
of the last. Well, and we've had this argument. Apparently, the movie went through some problems and it didn't get distribution, so it had to go direct to DVD or something along those lines. But
yeah, that still sucks, though.
I know, but a lot of people think that that's also helped Trick or Treat because it's kind of built the cult following that surrounds it.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
So while it wasn't a box office success, it's found a cult success. But I wish that it could have had kind of the treatment, because Krampus got, they fucking promoted the shit out of Krampus.
They did.
Yeah.
They even had like the Adam Scott and all them like go on talk shows and talking about it, which I thought was weird, because you really don't see
horror movies,
you know, stars of horror movies promoting it on talk shows.
Yeah, and if they all helped, like there's comedians in there, Koechner, Scott, they tend to do comedic movies, that really helps. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's not a waste of time, but you know, it wasn't my favorite.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'll check it out.
What about you, Heather?
I had something special for you, but I forgot, Kai.
What was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, I thought that might jog your memory.
No, weird, huh? Nope. But I do have one. I saw the new Jack Reacher.
Course you did. You were the one person. I knew if one person would see that fucking movie, it was Heather.
Me and like middle-aged men that were there by themselves, and my brother. So, well, we talked about it. The first one was good, and this was actually, I think we did it like 4 or 5 episodes ago. We did a what are the movies we're most excited about for the rest of 2016,
yes.
And
very
all of mine
under.
Were sequels. Yeah, so this was one of them, and it definitely was not even in the same wheelhouse as the first movie, which is not surprising, but I thought, you know, I knew there'd be more explosions and whatnot. There was a bigger budget, and they tend to do that and try to amp things up and get it more exciting for a sequel, but I was really kind of hoping they would take more of a Jason Bourne turn with it and keep it on the same level, but they didn't. It was full of cliches. The girl who plays the younger daughter or maybe daughter or something in it, which this isn't a spoiler because you kind of figure this out in like the first 20 minutes. She might be his daughter. She might not be. She's fucking terrible. Every scene she's in is horrible. Jesus. All I wanted was the villains to kill this girl so the movie would get better. And that's not what you want in a movie like this when he's trying to save her and protect her. Robin from How I Met Your Mother and Tom Cruise, however, together, those two were awesome. They
Kobe
had
Smulders.
Really good chemistry. Yes, I like her a lot.
I like her a lot, too.
And this, I think, is another, especially because she seems to be kind of sticking in the action genre as a tough chick, which, you know, is totally hot for me.
Yeah.
She's really, really good. She's solid. She's believable in most of her stunts. And I like her a lot. And the scenes with the two of them are fantastic. They're great. If they took the stupid daughter equation out of the fucking movie, it would have been leaps and bounds better. And overall, though, it still was fun. It was ridiculous and a little, it was, like I said, full of cliches. And the thing I liked about the first movie is it didn't really succumb to that. The action sequences are enjoyable. The villains are a little meh, but It was a good movie for funsies.
It's hard to outdo Werner Herzog. Like, Werner Herzog was a very good bad guy. But, like, okay, let's not say we both like Jack Reacher. I love Tom Cruise in Jack Reacher. I like the idea of his character being this guy that kind of knows everything and is kind of playing everyone for a game, and he kind of knows everything that's coming to him. That's kind of its pitfall, too, though, because he's kind of unbeatable because he kind of sees everything coming. It's kind of works out too well for him, where it doesn't have the stakes of something like a Bourne Identity. And in my opinion, the first one is a generic, very generic action movie.
It is in some ways, but I think it's done in it's kept simple though. It's not.
I'll buy that.
Generic action movies tend to compensate with the special effects, the fight scenes. The thing I really, really enjoyed about the first one, besides the fact that it had quality one-liners throughout, which you need in those kind of standard action films, the fight scenes were totally plausible. They seemed very realistic. They weren't overdone. They were based in that universe that they created there, realistic. This one, nope. People are jumping off of buildings, two stories, falling, getting up and running, which I can buy if that's the universe that you've created for this hero. But after the first movie, you've already dictated that this is based in more of a land of realism. So it, in that aspect, it sucks. Even though some of the scenes and sequences were really entertaining, it just...
Mrs. Clinton, that's your 2 minutes. Okay, that's your 2 minutes.
Oh, you've never called me a meaner name.
Oh, God. Trump. Hey, it's time to move on from the Jack Reacher thing. I'm sorry. I can't spend this too much time on Jack Reacher. Let's just say, do you think they're going to do a third one? Yes or no?
No, because I don't think it's going to make enough money.
Okay. Would you watch a third one?
Probably, but I'd wait till it came on DVD as opposed to running to the theater.
Okay. All right. Well, this brings us to the end of what we've been watching. Let's get into...
Today's general discussion topic.
So, every episode we have a general discussion topic. We always kick it over to our guests for ideas. Most of them have ones we've done before, maybe ones that need to be tweaked. Jason came right out of the gates. He had a great one. He wanted to talk about found footage films, and I love the idea. So, Jason, found footage films.
Yes.
Go on. You have 10 minutes. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Is it the TED
I'm gonna
talk?
I'm going to start running this like the debate. I'm just going to cut you guys off, or try to cut you off, and bounce back and forth, and that's how we'll do this.
I thought it was going to be like a TED Talk, actually, but okay.
All right, so let's let's lead out the gates with just, first of all, let's go around the room. Everybody like found footage?
Yes. I love this topic, by the way. The one we had before was terrible. This is fantastic.
I have to say, I'm a huge, huge found footage film fan. That's hard to say.
Me too. I get excited when I read this topic. Good job, Kai.
The thing is, much like zombie films, which had a heyday in the early to mid-2000s, what happens is someone does something right, and everyone copies it, and it kind of goes to hell. This is kind of what happened with found footage to a certain extent when Blair Witch hit, and everyone went apeshit. And if you're not old enough, because we do have Pride Millennials listening now, when Blair Witch came out, it was an indie sensation, and it was so, like, low budget at the time, even in the height of the indie films, the way it was marketed and the way it rolled out, there was people that actually thought it was a real fucking found footage
video. Oh, absolutely. I remember that.
That's why they came up with the second one, because it was basically mocking all the idiots that clamored to the first one thinking it was real.
Yes, and that was a really good idea on their part. The Book of Shadows.
I thought so, too. Yeah.
But I don't know about you guys. I think and it didn't roll out the same way zombies did. Like found footage, like, you know, that started what? Let's give credit to Blair Witch kind of being the founder. Does anybody have a problem with that?
I say recently.
Okay.
I mean, there you could argue that
Cannibal Holocaust
is like the first, you know, found footage movie, but there wasn't really a whole lot that came after that. Not that I can recall right now, but then Blair Witch happened, and then all these like other movies started coming out. So,
and it was the one that had the most commercial success too. That was
I think until Paranormal Activity, it was considered one of the most profitable films of all time because the budget was so small versus how much money it made. Especially with inflation, is just ridiculous. So, but you bring up a good point, because and I've never seen Cannibal Holocaust, Jason. I refuse to watch it.
But I will.
I know why you refuse to watch it. You can skip that part if you get the DVD.
You think I'm skipping a part? I have problems with a few parts. Like I pretty much know what the whole movie's about, dude. Like,
well, okay, I guess I don't know which part you're talking about.
Yeah, I've done my due diligence on it, and I'm like, I'm cool not seeing it. I did watch The Green Inferno, if that counts for anything, which is, you know, whatever. My question though, mockumentary or found footage film? I know mockumentary tends to get like put into the comedy genre, but is it a mockumentary?
Well, it depends how it's done, because not every found footage movie is presented like a documentary.
That's what I'm saying. Is there like, okay? I guess that's what I'm asking. Is there a difference? Is there a difference between a mockumentary and a found footage film? Or for the
I
sake
would say
of this,
yes.
You would say
I would
yes.
Say, yes.
Okay.
Although, okay, one example I could bring up right now. There's a movie that I'm a fan of, even though it's fucking creeps me out too. The Poughkeepsie Tapes. That's a mockumentary centered around found footage. The whole movie is presented as a documentary, but like the core of it is them is about the cops finding this serial killer's footage. And if, for anyone who doesn't know, Poughkeepsie Tapes is not commercially available. I'll put that in quotes. meaning you have to go with various means to see it. So take that for how you want to interpret that. I think it's worth it. I mean, it's a really super creepy movie. Because it's presented like a real life documentary. Like if you didn't know better, you would think this was real. And they show you, you know, the stuff that this killer like filmed. Like they find these tapes in this killer's house, and they present like the case to it. And they're like, "Here are the tapes that we found." And it's him like carrying this camera around as he's killing people. And then there's this long stretch where he like kidnaps a college girl. And then basically, like, makes her, like, her slave for, like, 10 years. And you see her being, like, tortured and stuff. So it's really creepy and stuff. But it's So for that is, again, it's more of a mockumentary just centered around found footage. But not every found footage movie, I would say, is a mockumentary.
Okay, and just so Jason says, nefarious, we're not saying it's not a snuff film. I mean, it's a horror movie. It tries to go for a very realistic look at like what a situation would like that would be, and it comes off a little icky. But I guess for the question of what I'm laying out here is, are we, for today's discussion, are we throwing all those films into one? Because found footage implies that the person with the camera died and someone came along and is just presenting the footage it's found, whereas I think found footage films can include things like the Poughkeepsie Tapes and other movies like that. Is that fair?
I think
a general audience that's listening would probably include them with it. For people that get a little deeper into cinema and that kind of thing, I think it wouldn't apply. Is that fair?
Yeah. Do we feel like we've gotten too many of them? Does it feel like the well's drying up? Does it have that vibe kind of what we've got?
I don't. Okay. And here's why I don't think so, yet, at least, anyway. I mean, the thing that's kind of cool about it is that it can constantly reinvent itself. Just based on pop culture, whatever new is going on or whatever new thing, I mean, it can apply to so many different things. And there's so many different ways that you can scare people still that are simplistic. I think right now probably like the paranormal side is maybe been taken a little bit it far and probably needs a break.
Paranormal in general, or the fact that they made 7 of Paranormal Activity or whatever?
Well, that one specifically, I think, has probably, the well is dry. However, that doesn't mean that there can't be another twist or take on it, too, just because I haven't thought of it. But I think it's definitely something that has more potential to reinvent itself because of the realism aspect of it. And that's something that people connect with more than, I think, fantasies or zombies or vampires or things that aren't as tangible. The realism of it, I think, is what makes it so scary in the first place.
Well, and I would say it's when done right.
Yes,
it is probably the best genre. For indie filmmakers, it came along as like a godsend because someone can go make a film for nothing. I mean, Paranormal Activity, I think, was made for $12,000 or $16,000, and I think Spielberg gave him an extra $5,000 to go reshoot the ending, essentially. But I mean, it was made for nothing, man. And I think a found footage film or a whatever you want to call it works so well when done properly is the best story to tell, because while the whole reason movies work in general is they're tugging at your emotions and your heartstrings, they're trying to get you involved and invested in the characters. Nothing is more investing than watching something through a video lens where you feel like you're there with the person behind the camera. You feel like you're being a voyeur into someone's life. And as Jason mentioned with Poughkeepsie Tapes, where it borders on the dark side and you might feel like even a little icky watching something like that, the reason you feel icky is because it feels so real. And I think that applies to all found footage films. When done properly, can really make you invested in the characters and make you feel like you're stuck in that story. And I think that's what makes them so good and frightening. You know what I mean? Even something like Cloverfield, which isn't a horror movie, works well because you feel like you're in the running with those people, running away from all those things, and flashing back to the love story. You feel like you're getting the backstory in there. It's really well done because of the genre that it's working in.
I agree.
Me too.
It makes you feel icky.
All right.
Icky.
So do you guys have a few favorites? Like, do you have, when it comes to,
I have a lot of favorites.
Let's take a couple off. Let's take Blair Witch off, because do we all like Blair Witch? I can assume we all
do. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, do we all
like? I even like the sequel. I don't even know why people shit on the sequel so much.
I agree. I just showed the sequel to my oldest son, and he was freaking out. I totally forgot Jeffrey Donovan was in it, first of all.
Burn Notice guy?
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's really ridiculous, but it's so much smarter than I think people give it credit for.
I'm not giving it credit. Maybe I need to go back. I actually have, I know Heather knows this, in my bathroom I have a framed photo with tons of ticket stubs, all the movies I've seen over the years. And I have a Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows movie ticket. Like, I went to the theater and saw that shit. So maybe I need to revisit it. Maybe it's been a while.
Yeah, it had been a while for me too, and I would say that it certainly has the cheese factor attached to it, but it's mocking at the same time, but in almost a really cool way. It's still mind fucking you, so it plays both ends, and that genius in itself I have to respect.
Okay, well, let's take Paranormal and let's take Blair Witch off the table. Heather, give me just a couple that you really like.
Cloverfield was one that I was going to use. I think the thing I enjoyed most about it, too, is, like you said, it's not necessarily a horror film. It's more science fiction, if anything.
True. But yeah, I mean, it's a monster movie.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw it either way, science fiction horror. But what really impressed me with that was the scale they did it on and made it work. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even particularly like any of the characters. Like, I wanted them all to die for the most part.
Oh, T.J. Miller. No, love T.J. Miller, dude. Sorry.
Overall, I wasn't like really invested in supporting them, but I was still interested in what was happening, mm-hmm. and I liked being behind the camera with it. So I think that one was successful. Another one I actually liked a lot was VHS.
I
was a late comer to that one, and I think I actually just watched all three of them together mm-hmm. last year, maybe. Mm-hmm. But
I think two is a little better.
You know what? That was the one I think I liked the most. But I think that was a brilliant idea, and I think that was one that was probably more recently successful and kind of and also it had that like buzz where it wasn't totally mainstream, so we kind of had to.
Yeah, went out and got some of the greatest like kind of working indie or like funnest indie working directors right now to kind of be involved in the project. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was really, really cool. So I was definitely late to the game with it, but I was really impressed.
I was all over VHS because it had like three of my favorite things combined. It had found footage, it had anthology movies, and it had VHS technology.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And is two the one that ends at like the Asian compound?
Yes.
Okay, I love that sequence. I'm a huge fan of that sequence.
Yeah,
I don't know
one,
why.
That one took over that whole movie.
Yes.
I do agree, that is like the best story out of the second one.
It's a really
Even
good
though
one.
I think the zombie one is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Because A, it was directed by the Blair Witch guy. But B, I think it's just funny as hell.
Yeah,
yes,
I agree.
Yes.
All right, what about you, Jason? Give me a couple.
Okay, I'm going to go really vague and underground on you guys, but and speaking of underground, one of the ones I like, it's called The Tunnel. Mm-hmm. I'll be very quick about this. So, first of all, the movie is about this a news crew who did a news story about this city in Australia that found out that they were going to make these like underground tunnels to help like water flow or something, but then they just stopped for some mysterious reason. They never explained why. They just cut the project. So the news crew goes to the tunnels to see what it is, and something happens to them. And I won't spoil it, but it's fucking terrifying. Like I the best way I can compare it to is imagine if The Descent was a found footage movie.
Damn. Okay.
Like that.
Yuck.
Is it?
Icky. Okay.
And the most interesting thing about the movie is that it was funded through BitTorrent. Like the whole movie,
really?
Yeah, like the creators said that they would sell parts of the movie on BitTorrent to get the movie made, and it got like funded in like a week.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why it got made. So I think that was interesting. And it's really a good movie. And it's sort of like it borders the mockumentary line kinda, but I think it's more found footage because you see more of the footage than you do the documentary side. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good movie. I recommend it. Check it out.
Okay.
And the second one, I think it's a little more mainstream, but a lot of people don't talk about it. It's called Open Windows.
Who's in this?
Elijah Wood in it.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one yet. It's also got Sasha Gray, I believe.
In it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's mainstream now. She's not doing that anymore, Heather.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. but what's cool about this is for a couple reasons. One is it's done by the same guy who did Time Crimes.
Oh, which is like my Nacho Vigalondo's?
Is
it Nacho Vigalondo's?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So he did this movie, which I already had me on board. But what's cool, the gimmick for this one, and people are going to argue this is not technically found footage, but I think it is that the whole movie is done from Elijah Wood's computer, like his point of view. Mm-hmm. like the creator's point of view, I mean. So it's really hard to explain. He's like this guy who wins a contest to meet Sasha Gray's character, not her, as she's not playing herself.
Yeah.
But she's playing like an actress in some movies. And he wins a contest to meet her or something, and then some hacker takes over his computer and starts making him do things, kind of interfering with his life, and then gets Sasha Gray involved in all this. And it's really great. It's tense. It's not horror. It's more of like a thriller, like a cyber thriller. Mm-hmm. But it's still a good movie, and I recommend it. And I can't believe it's not more well known. Like, it's really great. I don't know why it's not popular.
Let's go. Let's talk about real quick before I give you my two, Jason. Let's talk about one that you and I both like that I think a lot of people dismiss. That it kind of falls along the same lines, which mm-hmm. was Unfriended.
Oh yeah, I liked Unfriended.
Unfriended too. And we messaged each other out. In fact, you were fucking with me. You were trying to pretend like we were in the movie. You were like giving me message like the girl in the movie, because you're a dick. It's a movie that the whole thing takes place on basically a girl's laptop, and it uses
Facebook chat or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like Facebook and YouTube and Skype and direct stuff, messaging yeah. and everything on the computer to basically do a horror film that is like, it's really well done. And for what it lacks in, like, you know, the story lacks a little bit. But I mean, the idea of incorporating modern social media, I thought it was brilliant the way they used it.
Absolutely, I agree.
To be able to tell a story from that vantage point, like, I thought it was really good. So I think Unfriended's worth watching.
Yeah.
One, if we're going to go, get away from horror for one sec, if I'm going to do found footage, I got to give props to Chronicle. I think Chronicle was really good. It was the first time they decided to use found footage to kind of tell the idea of a superhero story. Mm-hmm. And, dude, it's got, I'm going to say his name wrong, Dane DeHaan. I think it's Dane DeHaan. And Michael B. Jordan, who are both great actors. If I said your name wrong, DeHaan, I'm so sorry. But it's definitely worth checking out. And the cool thing about it is it's kind of got like it's got more of a studio budget behind it, but it's also told in a low budget format. So it makes some of the stuff they do look more spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that one. The other one I saw recently, since we were just kind of talking about people in that kind of like that indie horror movie making, that group, like the VHS group, the people that we like, Jason, I'm a fan of Ty West. Like, are you a fan of Ty West?
I could take or leave him. I'm not a huge fan.
Oh, see, I think The House of the Devil is a really, really good movie.
I was kind of bored.
Were you? Yeah, and no, it can be boring, but I mean, I think it all pays off. I think it has a pace to it, and I think it's really well
the
done.
The ending was by far the most interesting part of that movie.
Well, but it's a slow burn. I mean, it's a slow burn
slow
build.
Yeah,
it's
a real fucking slow burn.
But I can appreciate that you feel that way while at the same way saying, like, I really enjoyed it. So then when it was done, I think it's a really good movie.
I'm just, like I said, the only part I liked was the ending when, like, shit started actually happening.
Yeah, I know.
It's just some chick touring a house for 45 minutes.
True. I know. But I like it. And I find him, I don't know if you agree with this, when it comes to horror fans, he's the one that kind of goes either way.
Yeah,
like in ABC's of Death, I don't like his piece in it. Like he's usually a part of those kind of things.
I forget which one he did. I can't remember.
I think it was like poop in a toilet. It was something silly. Like I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
In Cheerios, maybe.
No, that's where it should have been, right, Heather? Poop in the Cheerios.
Right. That's how shit gets real.
But I will say he did another movie, so I checked it out. And it was called The Sacrament. And
I heard about that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I think I told you about it. And if you look at the poster, you'll think it stars John Goodman, but it doesn't. It's a really interesting movie about someone that's sister has been taken into a cult, and he goes to explore the cult, and he happens to be a guy that works for a company like Vice. Uh-huh. So they use the guise of the interview team, the cameraman, the guy with the mic. They're going into explore what life in this cult is, and secretly wants to get his sister out of the cult, and everything goes wrong.
Mm.
So I liked it. I recommend it. You guys took all the good ones. And the one last thing I want to say is, for as much as we bag on the Paranormal Activity sequels, I feel like they've done a really good job of trying to like intertwine the stories enough to bring back the history of the originals and make a new story based on that. Does that make sense?
I don't even mind, I think, the first three. I think the first three are are, what's, is it the fourth one where they get all the crazy witches and stuff?
Yeah.
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 The one with the teenage girl.
Yeah. Up to that point, I think they do a really good job. Well, I wouldn't mock the first two or three at all.
I think the first and second one are very good. I think the sequel's arguably as good as the first one, if not the fact that, you know, the first one is so good, you probably can't compare it, but it's a very good number two. Right, like you said, four kind of goes off on its own, and the fifth completely diverges from the rest of the story and goes off and does the Mark ones. But I just caught Ghost Dimension, which kind of goes back to the old story again, and I like how they try to, like, bring it back together. So, you know, props to those guys. Anyway, so we're all big fan of found footage, and we want to see lots and lots more. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, well, then let's wrap this shit up and get on to the Series 7. I have music. I'm going to play it right now.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
All right. It's time for the Series 7, and I've been winging this intro for so long that I finally just wrote down what I say at the beginning of the show, so I'm going to go ahead and read it now. These are basically just seven film-related questions generated to discuss opinions on film and pop culture. They can be interpreted however you want. Make a joke of them, be serious. Find out how... I shouldn't have written it down. It was a really bad idea. I literally wrote, or find out what happens when people stop deciding to be polite and start being real.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is the opening to the real world. Okay, so anyway, these are just seven questions. We're going to go around the room. We'll start with Jason. Jason, question number one, yes. Halloween-themed Series 7. Who is scarier, Michael, Freddy, or Jason? The big three.
In my honest, serious opinion, I'm going to say Freddy, because he invades your dreams and you have to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like... Michael, you can just not go to Haddonfield, and Jason, just don't go to Crystal Lake, and you're good. Well, but Freddy, he haunts your dreams, and, you know, everyone has to sleep at some point, and then he kills you. So that's kind of fucked up. So my answer is Freddy.
Okay, and I almost don't feel like this is a contest. I'm with you. I think Jason and Michael Myers are kind of cut out of the same cloth. You know, the guy that's just walking slowly, always catches up to you, stab you to death. And you're right, you can't, I mean, you could argue don't go to Elm Street, too, but I mean, Freddy is the scariest, hands down, and even when they made kind of a comedic version of him, I still think he was the scariest version of it. And I will say this, the remake, the remake was not great, but I do like, A, the casting of Jackie Earle Haley, and B, the idea that they incorporated science now, which is that your body, after so long, has to sleep. So there's really no escape. Even if you're a meth addict, you're going to crash. He's going to get you. So, like, I like that aspect of incorporation in the story. So there's no escaping Freddy. Even if he can't catch up to you, he's always going to catch up to you. And he's got knives for fingers, you guys. And a scary pedophile background. It's just creepy. So I go Freddy. What about you, Heather?
Because it is the scariest, I have to go with Freddy, too. I don't really think it's arguable. I think Michael's probably overall the creepiest. But Freddy is definitely the scariest. Everyone has to sleep. And most of the time, people come up with, you know, crazy scenarios or things that terrify them. It's your subconscious that realizes it anyway when you're asleep. So, I mean, there's just so many levels of that that's just... It does get comedic as time goes on, but I don't think that takes away from the idea of exactly what Freddy is.
Okay, so Freddy wins the battle of the big three. So let's go to question number two. Jason, do you prefer... ghost movies, zombie movies, or vampire films, and why?
I'm going to go with ghost movies on this because there are different types of ghosts. There are the super scary, demonic type ghosts. There are the ones that are just kind of like not too bad, and then they're the friendly ones. Mm-hmm. So you got a variety on there. There's always going to be the same type of zombie and same type of vampire, so that just gets kind of boring. But ghost movies, you know, have a good priority on them.
See, I want to see zombie movies because among these three genres, some of my favorite films come out of the zombie genre. I almost have to lean to vampire films because, A, I think a lot of the knockoff B version of those films, like I was just watching Stakeland before we started recording today. Like there's a lot of B zombie movies, B ghost movies that are really bad, but there's a lot of really good B vampire movies. And there's a lot of interpretations on the genre that are really good. Everything from Daybreakers, Blade, The Lost Boys, you know, Monster Squad, the traditional Dracula. I mean, there's so many ways that it can be interpreted. Mm-hmm. I tend to lean towards vampires being kind of the coolest. And I don't know if that's because they seduce me with their eyes, but I would be vampire. What about you, Heather?
I think it's definitely the seduction. Yeah. Vampires are definitely my favorite. I like zombies, but I don't think zombie movies are diversified enough at all. I think a lot of them are just carbon copies of each other, and a lot of them are silly and they're entertaining, and I don't mind that, but it just doesn't do too much for me, as much as I love zombies. Yeah. Ghost movies tend to be the most terrifying to me. Those are the ones that actually scare me the most.
Yes.
But they are definitely not the ones that I enjoy the most. Vampire movies, what I find interesting a lot of times about vampire movies is they don't necessarily go into the horror genre. It's more of the alienation from the rest of the world and different twists and turns they take on it. There's so many different ones, and I love it. I love them. They're fantastic.
See, and I want to add, like, I like ghost movies. I don't like demonic movies.
You still haven't seen The Exorcist.
No, I still haven't seen The Exorcist.
And what?
I've seen half of it.
Wow.
I know. I get it. Like, I saw half. Like, I get it. And I tend to avoid exorcism movies, and for whatever reason, demo movies rub my, like, my religious upbringing. Like, I'm not a religious person now as an adult, but I was raised religious, and for whatever reason, it bothers me. But I like ghost movies, but then you bring in all the demo and the exorcism, and I think that all kind of falls into the same realm, and then I'm, like, a little bit out. So I go vampire. Let's go to question three. We'll go back to Jason. I would be surprised if at least one of you does not have the same answer as me, but let's go with Jason first. Who's your favorite movie hero from a horror movie?
Oh, man. This one was a little hard for me to think of because there's a lot of great ones. But I guess I'm going to have to give it up to, what's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Why her?
She is the original Scream Queen.
Yeah, she is.
Certain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. She kind of started it all, sort of. I don't know. She's just more impressive, I guess. Like, she was able to survive 7 movies until, spoiler alert, she gets killed in one of the later sequels. But I think that was just... That was kind of dumb. They shouldn't have done that. But, you know, if you go by the original timeline of things, she's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, I'd say there's an argument for Donald Pleasance, too.
Yeah.
But I like that choice. Heather, I'm going to let you go, because I want to see if you pick the one I pick. Let's go with you.
Probably Ash, Hail to the King, baby.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's totally Ash. Mean,
is that even? I don't even have to explain it. that's
a good
just
one.
A given.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah.
Not only
Bruce
is he
Campbell's a my motherfucker.
Yeah, not only is it Bruce Campbell, but it's Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell playing Ash.
Yes.
And it's about a guy that fucking loses his arm, slaps a chainsaw on, and you know. I know. I just said. I guess you could. I mean, is that a demonic movie? I don't know. Maybe I'm contradicting myself. I don't think they're demonic. I don't know.
It is, but I think after the first one, too, anyway, it gets that level of comedy on it that I think it takes away from some of the terror.
Yes, exactly.
Other than the tree rapiness and all that.
Yeah, the tree rapiness. It turned into something else that I think makes it okay in my brain to watch. But, yeah, I would definitely lean towards Ash as well. All right, let's go back to Jason. Jason. What is your – we're going to go to zombies now because we did say we like zombies. So what is your two favorite and least favorite zombie movies?
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to go with Dawn of the Dead. This was my favorite, by the way.
Version.
Favorite. Now, see, that one's tough because I like both.
But I'd
if
say
I had to
either.
Pick just, if I had
agreed.
To pick one.
Yeah. If you had to go one.
I had to just pick one of them. I'm going to go with the original.
Yeah, okay.
I love the remake. Don't get me wrong.
It's a very good
start emailing me, but no. I have to give it up to the original.
Okay.
I think it's just a good one. And then my second one, sort of similarly titled, Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
Nice.
Now my least favorite, and you're gonna have to stop me because I can rant all day about this.
Okay.
They're movies you probably haven't heard of. One of them's called Vampires versus Zombies.
Okay.
I've heard of that.
I've heard you talk about it.
I don't know why.
Just stop. I've heard
you go off
in
this movie. Fucking terrible. Like, fucking awful. I want to just kill every single person involved with that movie and then just, like, light them on fire. Like, that movie is just fucking awful. And then if that's not terrible enough, there's another movie called Wise Guys versus Zombies.
What?
Which is even, like, worse somehow.
Deep cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they're zombie movies, and they're the ones I thought of. Yeah, they're just, like, both of these are just fucking awful. Like, and I could tolerate bad acting. You know, I kind of have to in what I do. But this is, like, below bad acting. This is, like Tommy Wiseau can act out these people in a heartbeat. Like...
Well, he's the greatest actor ever, though, Soto.
Like, seriously, like, it's just terrible. Like, everything's awful about both movies. The Vampires vs. Zombies one, like, literally, there's no fighting of the two until, like, the last 2 minutes of the movie. Otherwise, it's just some movie about, like, this army dude trying to find a zombie or something. And then the Wise Guys one is just terrible because it's, like, they're trying to be funny. And when you do comedy bad, it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit my head in my desk so many times watching that movie. I'm surprised I don't have a concussion, like an NFL-sized concussion by now. So, yeah, those are my answers.
Okay, see, now, I'm an unabashed, like, George Romero lover. So, like, I think the two best are easily Night and Dawn of the Living Dead. But I can make an argument to just say that all the way up through Land of the Dead, everything's perfect and Diarrhea is totally acceptable. So, like, I'm just going to take Romero off the table to be just to give a more original answer. So I'm going to agree with you on Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And just to piss people off, I'm going to say 28 Days Later.
Ha, Kai!
They're fucking zombies. They're not infected. You can kiss my ass.
I love you. It's on mine, too.
Okay, good.
Fuckers.
And as far as worst, I'm actually going to throw Romero under the bus. Survival of the Dead or .. of the Dead is a really bad movie. I don't know if you guys actually watched all six Romero movies, but...
I've never seen that one.
The last
Survival. What was that one?
Survival is the one that takes place on, like, an Irish island.
Oh, my God, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was terrible.
It was very, very bad. And then I'm going to say every... versus the Dead movie. I'm just going to, like, go on Netflix. Gangsters versus the Dead. Everything Jason said. Vampires versus the Dead. Whatever you want. Every fucking B knockoff zombie movie can kiss my ass. That's my answer.
Yeah, I have to say Zombievers was pretty funny, though.
I still haven't got to that one, and I will watch it. But that, again...
It's terrible, but it's funny terrible. So it depends on how far you want to take it,
but
I guess.
See, I feel like that's it might not be as good. It feels like something that was made in the same vein as Tucker and Dale versus Evil or something, like kind of like making fun of the genre.
Yeah. It's really, really poor, sad little brother.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll give it a shot. So I'm just going to – all those generic knockoffs, I just want to give a big fuck you to all the generic knockoffs and everybody that tried to cash in on the genre, flooded the market, killed the genre in film, and thank God we have The Walking Dead. All right, Heather, you.
Okay, mine, Dawn of the Dead, and it could be interchangeable on both of those for me, too. I say 28 Days Later for the exact same reason Kai does. It's a fucking zombie movie. Piss off. Just suck it. Okay? Apples and oranges all fucking day there.
Okay.
My least favorite is one I could go on a very long tangent about, but I will not.
Okay.
And I don't even need to pick another one. It's just fucking World War Z. It can suck my balls. And currently I have some in my body, so I can say that.
Wait. She's pregnant. She's pregnant, you guys. It's not what you thought. She's pregnant.
Wow, I didn't.
It's a family show, Heather.
Yeah, this is a fam. Well, it would work for our family.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, and then this is simply broke down because the book is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Breaking it down, just this reason alone. Okay, the main thing this movie tells you from the start, which it for me too had some of the best freaking trailers for it. It looked incredible. I was so fucking excited.
Except for the CGI ant pile of zombies going up a wall. Everything else looked great in the trailer.
Well, yeah. So blah blah blah, all that. The main thing we hear about this version of zombies and in this universe of zombies is sound really, really fucking attracts these sons of bitches. Okay, so Brad Pitt's running around with a satellite phone and has it turned the fuck on. It rings like a drunken two-year-old would know better than that. I've gone on so many tangents about it, but I can't get past that. And then the damn one place that's built smart enough and prepared and knew this shit was going to go down, what, they're going to sit there and start singing and making shit tons of noise so they can all kill themselves? Fuck you! The world deserves to die in that world. Oh, my God. The end actually had some redeeming qualities and was very interesting, but I can't get past the first three quarters of the movie. I hate it so much.
Well, let's say this. It has nothing to do with the book. I mean, it is like the book is not a A to Z story in the first place. The book is something else entirely. So, I mean, I guess it's in the spirits of, or they took sections of the book or whatever. But I love World War Z, and the more I watch it, the more I like it. And you're right. I do have problems with the same thing you said, Heather, and the horrible CGI to a certain extent. But I like the premise that they worked with, and I like the way they set it up for a sequel. And I hope we get a sequel, because that whole production, the end product was so great, because that whole production was doomed. Like, they had so many problems. I want to say they rewrote entire segments of that film.
They should have rewrote and reshot a lot fucking more.
Should have, yeah, everything that happened in Israel, according to Heather, should have been redone. Or was it Jerusalem? I don't remember. Anyway, all right, let's go on to the next question. Jason.
Yes.
What horror movie, how was Jason not your first pick, by the way? You took Freddy over Jason. Your fucking name's Jason. All right. What horror movie, I just realized that. What horror movie would probably make a better porno? And it's a kid's show, so keep that in mind.
This is a kid's?
Mm-hmm. No, dude, say whatever you want.
I know. Okay, well, a sick, twisted part of me wants to say a Serbian film, but I'm not going to go that route.
Don't even fucking start with that movie. You shouldn't have even said those two words. Talk about movies I will never watch. I'm not even going to allow that joke on this show.
God, okay. Besides that, I'm gonna go with, if you kind of look at the plot of the movie, it kind of plays out like a porno. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I was thinking about.
It's about these people. They're on a road trip. They pick up a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker takes these people to his house, where there's a bunch of people in the house. Just replace the killing with fucking, and you got a porno.
Pretty much.
I can't believe I allowed this question. You know, there's something inherently connected with sex with the violence of horror movies. Like, sex is an integral part of horror movies, but this was a bad idea for a question because it leads down a lot of dark roads. So I'm going to go way more simpler. I'm going to go back to something we used to do a long time, Heather, which is just based on titles, which one would make a great porno movie. So I'm going to go Sorority Row. Sounds like a lot of like college chicks that are DTF. So I'm going to just go Sorority Row and keep it simple. What about you?
Well, I could piggyback the title with The Ring, but...
Wow.
I actually had an elaborate theory about how you could turn that into a porno, uh-huh. And it would take way too long to explain, but it would be fantastic, so I kind of want to write it down and just put it on the Milcast page anyway. Okay. So I might do that.
All right.
But the one I picked, I think, would be fantastic, the Leprechaun movies, because I totally fucking love midget porn, so... I want to see that leprechaun fuck.
Ooh, I'm going to leave it right there. All right. That's perfect. Question number six. We'll go to Jason one last time.
Yep.
Who is the scariest horror movie kid?
I would have to go with Damien from The Omen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
He's fucking son of Satan, and he compels people to kill or kill themselves.
Okay. But what's scary
and then he goes up
him?
To be Donald Trump, I mean the president.
So. There you go. That's what's terrifying about him. I don't know how to say this without... I highly recommend this movie. I don't know if this is a cheat answer, and I don't want to spoil the movie. So I'm just going to say what I think, and we're going to move on, okay? So I don't spoil the movie. It is the kid from the movie Orphan.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying, Jason?
Yes, I gotcha.
Okay, all right. I'll go to Heather now.
I'm going to go with Carol Ann from Poltergeist. Of Not because you're. She's particularly evil, but because evil is fucking obsessed with her, and whenever wherever she goes, it is drawn to her, and I don't want shit to do with that, because everything that happens to her, I think could really happen, and it still gives me nightmares. So, fuck Carol Ann. I'm sorry she actually died, so now that's just sad.
Yeah, it really like evil things really did follow her.
Yeah, so all of that combined, I pass.
So it's not the scariest movie kid; it's the kid that's scariest to hang around. That's the route you went with it. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. All right, the final question. It is a fan favorite, Jason. This one's all you, buddy.
Oh boy,
you've done it before. You're going to do it again. Everyone in our theory does a bad celebrity impression, and we want to hear yours now. So the floor is yours. Give us your horrible celebrity impression.
Before I do that, let me stress that I've been on the show. This is like my fifth time, I think.
Yeah.
And I've had to have done a bad celebrity impersonation every single time.
Yeah, you know what?
So the fact that you begin the question with everyone has one is kind of annoying to me, because this is the fifth time you've made me
well,
do
here's
that.
The thing.
Yeah, but he made me do one each episode for like the first two seasons.
Yeah,
until
and she did the same one every week.
Exactly. Because I have one. Everybody's a version of Billy Madison.
Jason,
a bad version
you
of Billy Madison.
You haven't been on the show in 3 years. You could literally do the last impression you did, and no one would give a fuck or notice. I swear to God.
I don't even remember what the hell that was. I didn't go back and listen. So
right, I'll tell you what. Wait. I'm going to take a note. We're going to come up with something for repeat guests that they have to do something else when they come on. So, Heather, make a note. We'll come up with something for return guests so that they don't have to go through this every time. This will just be for new guests in the future when we figure something out.
Okay, I wrote it down, so that means something.
Yes. All right. Jason.
Yes.
Unfortunately, so for today, the floor is yours.
Yeah, that's fine. I have one. It's going to be really terrible,
okay,
and I'm going to get made fun of, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Do you guys want to be on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's Saturday Night Live with Heather Baxendale, Kai Parker, musical guest, The Offspring.
Why The Offspring, first of all?
Secondly,
that sounds nothing like Daryl Hammond.
Well, John Pardo.
Oh, well, that makes sense then. All right, let's move on. It's time to play the game.
The game. Don't blow it, the game.
It's time to play the game. Jason has played it before. He's going to play it again. For anyone that's never listened before, the game is very simple. For our contestant today, I have chosen three films, and for each film, I will give seven clues that include year and genre, actors in the film, tagline, director. If you were to guess it on the first clue, I'm going to go ahead and give you 7 points. Second clue, 6 points, so on down. A perfect score would be 21. Probably not going to happen. We say that if you get 12 or better, you've done very well. Now, Jason, I believe you've actually gotten a 20 before, right?
I have gotten a 20 before.
Okay, so despite that is very impressive, by the way. Very few people have done
Thank
that.
You.
I am going to say this, though, because even though it's the Halloween episode, I'm not going horror movies because that's just too easy.
We're
just going movies in general today, all right?
All right, that's fine.
All right, so for your first film...
As long as it's not fucking Far and Away, I'm fine.
Oh, God.
Yay!
I
should have
thrown that
that's
in
fantastic.
Here. All right.
You thought I forgot about it, huh?
No, because I don't ever forget about it. I remember the one time that Kai gave me something to do, I screwed away. Yeah, I do always do that. I screw things up.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. The one thing you do well is do everything bad. That's the one thing you do well. All right, for 7 points,
exactly.
Jason... This is a 1996 action-adventure thriller.
1996 action-adventure thriller.
Adventure.
1996.
There's a D in there. Adventure.
Mm-mm.
Offspring could have been, like, making music for that movie.
This is around the time of Self-Esteem, or the follow-up album, the one where they cut their hair. And it feels like heaven so far away. Jason, let me remind you, this is a podcast.
Who's singing and losing his mind today?
Let me remind you, this is a podcast, and silence is a bad thing. So walk us through your mental...
Well, you're filling in the silence. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking.
But I don't know any more words to that song, so I can't keep going.
Okay, I was waiting for you to stop, so I
can
start talking.
I can make shit up, like, rollercoaster, now that you're
okay,
gonna...
Okay, that's enough, Kai. That's enough of that.
Yes, Mom.
No singing.
All right. Trying to induce labor. I've heard bad singing induces labor.
Okay, well then, son of a bitch.
All right, this is a 1996 action-adventure thriller. Let's go to our sideline correspondents. Jason's
okay.
taking.
I got a guess.
This one and okay.
The Fifth Element.
For 6 points, Emilio Estevez is in this film. Emilio.
I know the movie.
Emilio.
So you're putting him at the 6 point, which means he's not the star.
Oh, Heather has a thing. Go ahead, Heather.
Soto did my part.
Oh, well, you can do it anyway. It's funny when you do it wrong every time. Go ahead. Tell him your part.
It takes a lot of talent to screw it up every time, by the way.
Yes, go ahead.
So this is the part where we give you an actor, but they are not the main role.
She's already she fucked it up 3 words in. Basically, what she's trying to say is that if we give you a big-name actor at this point, he's probably not the star of the film, or it's probably an ensemble film. But she can't do that every week. She just can't do it.
So it's basically what I said, just she's reversed.
But it's her
better.
But it's her job. And it's the one thing.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. A, I've been on the show a bunch of times, and B, I listen to the show. So I already know that the six-point question or whatever is going to be the guest star, not the star. So okay. I already knew that going in. But Heather, I appreciate what you're trying to say.
We literally we use this opportunity every week for her to practice to one day get it right for someone that doesn't come on the show regularly or listen, and she continues to not learn anything.
No.
I don't think this is right. I think this was earlier, but I just need to make a guess. Judgment Night?
That is incorrect, but that movie is fantastic. Here we go.
Yes, it is.
For 5 points, tagline, expect the impossible.
Okay, well, I think you just kind of gave it away. I'm going to say Mission Impossible.
That is correct for 5 points, and they only have one tagline for that stupid film.
That's not fair.
Really annoying.
Our video gets it so early, it's a pretty rough death.
I'm going to tell you guys what happened. Like, we had somebody scheduled to come on the show last week, and it just... they were not prepared to do a podcast, so we nixed the show in the butt. We just said, this is not going to be a good experience. I already had prepared these for someone else, so I'm just carrying them over. But I was doing it kind of last minute last week, and I've had 2 weeks to prepare better, and I didn't bother. But I wish that film had more taglines, because I thought that was a dead giveaway. But here's what we've learned. Jason does know some mid-90s Tom Cruise movies, just not Far and Away.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I don't know why not. It's a great movie.
Although I did forget that Emilio Estevez was in it. I didn't. Yeah. I don't remember that, but that's fine.
Very small part. All right. For 7 points, your second film is a 1998 action sci-fi thriller.
Ooh.
1998. I'm going to talk now.
Okay.
1998. What was it again?
Sci-fi thriller.
Action sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Sci-fi action.
Yeah.
1998 sci-fi action movie. Let's see. 1998, it's when I graduated from high school. So that's how old I am, everybody.
Oh, boy. I was only a year behind you.
96, motherfuckers.
I had a semester in college that year. Then I had to leave for reasons.
Okay. Was it to see this movie that you're going to guess now?
Armageddon.
For 6 points, Hank Azaria is in this movie. He's
Godzilla.
For 6 points, it is Godzilla. Very
good.
Well done, Jason.
Work.
All right, now I just have to scroll. If I could scroll, we could just continue the show and there'd be no problems. All right, you have an 11, Jason. Like I said, we always say if you get 12, you've done really well. So you've already done really well. But now let's see how well you can do.
Absolutely.
Your third and final film. This is a 1991 adventure crime drama.
Adventure?
Yep.
Crime?
Yep.
Wow, that's a genre I've not heard of. Adventure crime.
Yeah. All crimes are adventures.
They should be.
It just depends, like, whose perspective, you know?
If you're going to commit a crime, you should make it adventurous.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Like an
adventure
song.
Crime. Was that the year? No, that was 89.
Batman? I don't know. What are you thinking of?
This ain't my answer. I was thinking... Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but that was 89.
Yes, that was 89.
So that
you're
is
correct and you're wrong.
That's very tricky.
My actual guess, and this is just a guess, Dick Tracy.
That's going too. I want to feel like that. I feel like that was a little older as well because I want to say that was 88 or 89 too.
Early, like really early 90s, but
that was good mixing the action, adventure, and crime together though.
Heather.
Yeah.
Heather.
Yes. Yeah.
Jason just said Dick Tracy, which means you are required by law to do what?
Say Dick?
Say no. Jesus she can't do anything. She won't do any of her tricks today, Jason.
I think it's me. I think she gets flustered around me. She's like, oh, Jason's here. Oh, she's excited.
Heather, what's your favorite line from Dick Tracy to say?
Big boy did it.
Jesus. Yes. Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
What the fuck?
Thanks for jumping in so timely. All right. Show's devolved into madness, I swear to God. All right, for 6 points in your action crime drama, Harvey Keitel is in this movie.
Ooh.
That's my celebrity impression. I do it really good. They are really good.
All right, wait. I need to think before I say this answer, because there's an obvious one that's jumping out. But I need to make sure that came out in 91. I'm thinking. You put adventure first. You didn't say crime adventure.
No, IMDb put it first, not me. Don't blame me.
That's not really...
Are you a doctor?
Okay, sorry, I'm trying to talk. It's hard talking and thinking at the same time. And trying to be funny and thinking of an answer at the same time.
You're like the
really
Doublemint
hard.
Twins. You can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You like go right into a parking meter.
Okay.
Wow.
I am not going to say what I think it is because I think that's wrong. I don't think that's an adventure crime.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with 91. Harvey Keitel was in this, Thelma and Louise.
Wow. For 6 points, it is Thelma and Louise, bringing you to a grand total of 17. Jason, what the F, man?
I am really good at this game. Like, when I listen to it, I'm shouting the answers around, like, 7 and 6.
The problem is you don't know how much you freeze up until you're on the show and actually have to do it. That's the hard thing about all trivia. But you did excellent.
I wanted to say Reservoir Dogs, but you put adventure first, which is not right. That's more crime. And I don't even know if that would even count as an adventure.
See, and I thought that one would be really hard. I thought Godzilla for you would be pretty easy, and goddamn Mission Impossible. I should have thought that one
Mission
through a
Impossible
little
Mission Impossible is easy. The last two were pretty solid, though.
If I would have remembered that Emilio Estevez was in that, I probably would have got it at that point.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of the giveaway. Well, I'll tell you what, Jason. You've scored high. I have to look at the board. You might be close to coming back for the Tournament Champions when we do it, but you're, like, right on the borderline right now. But I hope that if you qualify, you will...
Borderline!
Grace us
borderline
with your...
Borderline!
Is that an Offspring song?
Take my love to the borderline! You didn't say I couldn't sing.
No, I think...
And you don't have to listen to him anyway.
I think you've proven
boss
that you can't sing. All right, that brings us to the end of the show, you guys. I want to thank you, Jason, for coming on. You're an old friend of ours. Thank you very much. Will you do me a favor? Go ahead and plug all the ways that people can find you online.
Absolutely. I got a lot, so hunker down, everybody.
All right.
First off, check out my YouTube show. It's called Cinegamer. You can check that out on cinegamerjason.com. I also do a podcast with my friend Nolan, who has been on the show, and he also does the Moment with Heather thing, in case
voice,
you all wonder
yes
who that was. Yes, that's him. I do a podcast with him called The Lair of the Unwanted. We cover bad movies twice a month. You can check that out at thelairoftheunwanted.com. You can harass me on Twitter at CineGamerJason. And you can also check out our podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thelairoftheunwanted.
I was just on there not too long ago, too, so you could probably go on there and find a fairly recent episode with me. And I think I went down a very big rabbit hole during the trivia section when I was on the show.
I think it was really fun. I like it when you lose your brains.
What did I go off on, Jason? I can't even remember. I went off on something forever.
Yeah, what was I was an actor. You kept bringing up, I think it was Brad Pitt.
I like Brad Pitt. That wouldn't make sense.
There was some, it was like an actor. You kept like saying he starred in this movie you kept insisting that you use your helps multiple times.
No, that I hadn't used them.
Use them.
Yeah, that I still had one. That was really fun. Yeah, you guys check the layer on they wanted and check out the one with me. It was really fun during the game portion. Oh my god,
it was a fun. It was a pretty. You know what? All of them are fun, but
they are all fun. But I like me better, so I'm gonna pick mine. Heather, plug for us.
Yes.
What do we gotta plug?
It's almost Halloween, so you should watch horror movies and go on our Instagram and our Facebook page because I put really fucking awesome shit on there. And if you don't, then you should fucking go on there and listen to me and do what I say so I'm not so mean.
You guys, she's about ready to pop, so it's not really her talking. It's the emotions. Check us out on Twitter. Please don't block me, at Kiderman, and Heather _ Kenobi. I'm trying to be more active on there, so get on there and talk to me, and throw me some people that I should follow, people that won't block me, people that will talk and have good exchanges with me. Anyway, this has been real fun. I could do this all day, but there's beers to be drank, Pokemon to go hunt, and movies to be watched. So I'm going to go do that. See you guys next time. Heather?
Tell me you like my hat, Shannon. Please go watch Far and Away.
What?
Then you will not lose a championship game.
I thought we were going to do the baby thing.
I forgot what I was going to do.
Damn it.
What was I supposed to say? Get out of my belly!
Yeah.
Get out of my belly!
Yeah, that's what you were supposed to say.
God damn it. Well, there you have it. I can do it again. Get out of my belly! I almost threw up that time. This kid is so fucked.
Heather, you have earphones in, right? Yeah.
I sure do. That's why nobody can hear you but me.
Okay, good. No one hears me but Heather. No one.
Your voice in my head.
That's sad shit right there. I'm like, go drink beer. Forget the baby.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck! Fuck! Heather! Heather! Heather!
What?
Fuck!
What, Parker?
Look at that!
What are you saying?
Fuck!